When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You're going to win two tickets to see the Capitals Saturday, January 4th. They're taking on the New York Rangers. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/contest, courtesy of the Caps.
As your local Washington 53 continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condoria and Morad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Time for our Beltway Blitz. We start with the NFL. And our buddy Benjamin Brown to spin us around the league. We will begin with the Saturday slate. Two really good NFL games. Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens. How do you feel about the doubleheader?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously excited. I think we have a full day of football. Obviously, we get the college football playoffs kicking off as well. You know, getting a full slate of bowl games. So it's obviously going to be a great time. I think, you know, the headline, AFC North. How are things going to stack up? Who's actually going to win the division? In a lot of ways, I do probably gravitate towards the Ravens. I know the spread pretty heavy in their particular direction. I just think where they've been at offensively has been so much more efficient from an EPA standpoint. Steelers obviously living really heavily with the deep ball, need some things to break right in the run game. I just think the Ravens still kind of seem like the more superior team, I would say, for this AFC North matchup.
Who finishes number one in the NFC?
That is a good question. I think if you asked me last week at this time, I would very much still have been on the Restore the Roar bandwagon, you know, with Detroit. But I do kind of agree in some ways with the public sentiment. I think the injury situation is, you know, getting a little bit out of control. How they obviously weather that it is one situation. I do think in the other side of things, you know, from like, you know, Minnesota Vikings standpoint, kind of the closest contenders to them in the NFC right now. I think overall the way in which they've won, especially recently, a lot of, you know, marquee performances from a lot of differing parts. I think in a lot of ways, they're a team that has very few weaknesses outside of the Christian Darrisaw season-ending injury. So I think given the injury situations to both teams, I'd maybe want to get a little bit out of ahead of the curve. And I do think that the Vikings in that Week 18 matchup could end up solidifying that number one overall seed in the NFC. Ben,
similar question here, Ben, but if you're Washington and you're going to be the 7 seed, rank the three teams they could play as the 2 seed in order of who you'd least like to play. And so it's Philly, Detroit, Minnesota. Who would you least like to play of those teams?
Yeah, I think there's probably a few different paths. To me, I do think, you know, given where some of these injury situations lie with Detroit, like that's a team that could be vulnerable come playoff times. I think from, you know, Washington fandom situation, you know, there's maybe some sentiment to how they actually stacked up against the Philadelphia Eagles as well. So I do think there probably are give and takes to all of them, but, you know, given where the quarterback situation lies, I think there is some case for, you know, Jaden Daniels kind of going in and really grabbing hold and kind of taking on some big plays and really being able to beat any one of those three teams. I think if I was ranking them from who I think can match up pretty well, or who matches up well, I would say from Washington's standpoint, I do think you probably want Minnesota, Philadelphia, and then Detroit. Given Detroit's injury situation, I think it's probably Philadelphia as kind of that one team that maybe you don't really want to see in the first round of the playoffs.
What do you make of the Falcons going to Penix?
I'm glad it happened finally. I thought it was maybe a little bit overdue. I don't want to say that, you know, the Kirk Cousins experiment was a completely failed disaster, but I think in a lot of ways, you know, what we've heard from you know, people within the building, I do think that, you know, Penix in general was a guy that, you know, the teams were a lot higher on than what, you know, the general media and everyone else seemed to think even going into the draft. And I think he's kind of exceeded some of those expectations. So I think sooner rather than later, I'm definitely glad that they made the decision. I do think overall he's going to generate a more efficient offense for Zach Robinson than what, you know, Kirk Cousins was, you know, providing, I would say, at this point in his career.
I'll be fascinated to see if anything looks different. I thought Zach Robinson, Cousins was playing awfully, obviously, but I thought Zach Robinson was terrible as well. 17 of their final 23 plays against the Raiders were runs. Of the six passes, four were on third and nine or longer. So you either don't trust him to throw the ball, and if that's the case, why is he playing? Or what are you doing? I mean, give the play calling to somebody else. I'll be really curious to see what they do to keep the, you know, to help the kid out a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I do think, obviously, learning experience for, you know, Zach Robinson kind of being in that role for the first time as well. I do think we should see some added wrinkles until that actually kind of plays out. And we see some of the situation where they are going to gravitate towards Michael Penix and what he can do from a skill set. A lot of this is really just up in the air. I would agree with you on that.
Ultimately, the AFC, who do you think gets in at the back end of the postseason? Any changes here, or do you think it's still going to be Denver and the Chargers?
I think, obviously, you know, I very much think, you know, obviously the game tonight, you know, between the Chargers and Denver is going to very much, you know, in some ways dictate what one actually gets in. I don't want to be, you know, overly aggressive. I do think those are probably clearly the two best teams that are going to get into the wild card spot. So I don't really think we see a late season run or anybody kind of pushing up to the point where they're going to exceed one of those two teams. So although, you know, they're going to be on full display tonight, unless the Chargers lose, I really think both these teams do kind of end up getting into the final playoff picture.
Benjamin Brown is with us here on our Beltway Blitz talking NFL, listening to Grant and Danny. Have you seen enough from Bryce Young to feel like he could be a starting quarterback next year? Or are we still in limbo with the Panthers and maybe a decision to pivot?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, what they do at the backup quarterback position will dictate that. I think it's been, in a lot of ways, especially, you know, pre-Dallas game, probably what you'd at least want to see after the early season benching. But, you know, the early season benching happened for a reason. I do think, you know, Canales has been putting Bryce Young in better spots than what he was at earlier on in the season. But I still think these next two or three games are very much kind of, you know, the make or break point for how competitive is that training camp battle going to be next year. I do very much, you know, would highly suspect that, you know, Bryce is at least going to have the inside position still. But, you know, to what extent do they provide resources around him and compete with him? I think it's a matter of how they kind of finish these last three games out.
This is not me criticizing Josh Allen at all, because he's the presumptive MVP favorite and he deserves it. But why does it seem like he's such a runaway favorite over Lamar Jackson, who's having a better season than he's ever had as a two-time MVP winner? Or, you know, I know Burrow's team hasn't won very much, but why is everyone just sort of slamming the gavel saying it's a done deal for Allen?
Yeah, I do think it's interesting too. You know, in a lot of ways, from a betting market standpoint, you know, we've seen Allen push away as well. I think that is obviously very much influenced by public sentiment. I think in some ways, just looking at, you know, where Lamar was at previously, already winning it, I think, in the, you know, characterizing, you know, his season now to what he did in that 2019 MVP season, I think you do see a lot of similarities. But at the end of the day, I do think people gravitate towards, you know, winning the division, the fact that the Ravens are still, you know, in second place in the AFC North. Maybe if they do make that late season push and actually do win the division, I just think, you know, the Bills, for all intents and purposes, have kind of had the narrative even leading into this season for Josh Allen to be MVP. I think, you know, if we go back to the preseason, it was very much, you know, the weapons surrounding Josh Allen are going to hold him back. And in a lot of ways, since they haven't, you know, I really think that that kind of puts Josh Allen on a different pedestal in a lot of ways that are kind of outside the realm of, you know, advanced analytics and sort of stats that we can compare to other quarterbacks. I think there's just a general sentiment that he has been much bigger of an elevation for his team as opposed to what, you know, even Lamar Jackson had, because he probably does have, you know, the best offensive skill position players he's had around him since he was drafted in Baltimore.
Ben, be good, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
All right, you got it. Let's localize the football chat. Our guy, Steve Wino, joins us. He's been out and about in Ashburn this week. Swino, why don't we start with the kicking situation? I know both guys were out having babies yesterday, so congrats to them, their wives, their families. That's amazing. Love that. But I do think this is a situation. Like, I am not comfortable. They have missed, if you count the one that they got bailed out on because of the end of the third quarter, like 5 of their last 6 kicks, I believe it is, at this point. How are you feeling about this kicking situation?
Yeah, GP, I think uneasy, as is Dan Quinn and Adam Peters as well, but Zane Gonzalez was a full participant in practice today. It appears like he will be the guy on Sunday against the Eagles. Not the option they wanted when the season started. Obviously, coming with Cade York, he misses early. Austin Seibert comes in as good until he gets hurt. Zane Gonzalez, same sort of inconsistency and a little bit of an injury to that left plant foot of his. But he's the best option I think they have right now. And I think Greg Joseph and his agent went into the game last week thinking it was going to be sort of a one-game situation. And it's back to being on Zane Gonzalez, for better or worse.
Why don't Luke McCaffrey or Ben Sinnott get targets?
That's a good question. And it's a little bit of the way the offense works, Danny, is that from game to game, it could go around to anybody. And we saw Noah Brown sort of emerge as the number two wide receiver target, I guess Zach Ertz being second behind Terry McLaurin. But at that point, it becomes a mix of McCaffrey and De'Ami Brown and even Zacchaeus just to kind of build the offense around. But it's possible they're not getting a lot of targets because they're not getting open. But we're going to see easily on Sunday when Terry McLaurin's covered and you don't have Zach Ertz in the lineup, that there's going to be more opportunities, definitely for Ben Sinnott at least.
Steve Wino, Associated Press. Swino, this stadium situation is just a sticky wicket. I mean, it never seems to end. Every time you think you know something, you get punched in the face. Now it's not looking good for the land being returned to the team. What do you make of the developments of the last 24 hours?
I was thinking about this yesterday and a little bit the day before that of when this was in the spending bill of sort of celebrating when you're at the 5-yard line or at the 1-yard line or being DeSean Jackson dropping the football at the 1-yard line. I think that's kind of where this is right now. This was so close to being a done deal, at least as an option for this for the Josh Harris group and ownership of RFK Stadium. But I was with Muriel Bowser today at the Arena News Conference, and she said this is probably the last chance for this bill to happen during this congressional session. And if it doesn't happen now, and the incoming president is against the funding, or not this funding bill in general, but the possibility of adding this to a funding bill, then we don't know if this is ever going to get done. And it might turn out to be Josh Harris and his group turn back to Maryland and that same land oversight that Northwest Stadium is on right now as the best option. But I think everyone around is still holding out hope. I mean, the congressional leaders hope there's going to be a vote on this bill tonight. It could get done tonight, or it could be dead by tomorrow.
Is there anything else we're not thinking of when it comes to stadium? Like, in other words, to me, this is, I don't have a great analogy for this, Swano, but it's not rock and a hard place. It's like rock and, you know, an ephemeral, ever-changing, multidimensional monster, you know, whatever this waiting for RFK thing is, because you could wait forever and it might never even come through. And I think it's untenable to go back to Landover 2.0. So is there anything else we're not thinking of, or is that it?
Well, remember the Woodbridge idea in Virginia?
Yeah.
Do you want that too? The problem is, given sort of the geography of this, it's good, I guess, for the team to have three different jurisdictions wanting a stadium and wanting to kind of fight over you. But there's a lack of good land or land attached to public transit and these other sort of things in a good area to put this stadium. That's why RFK always seemed ideal, beyond just the nostalgia that we know that the Mitch Rales and Mark Ein and Josh Harris feel about that RFK site and sort of everybody, the fan base and everybody who remembers that being great. It's also in a great location east of Capitol Hill, right on the metro line. There's 177 acres, as Muriel Bowes reported out earlier, that it is the ideal location. I think that's why everyone's been willing to wait on this. This might be the point that if it doesn't happen, is the breaking moment to, okay, another solution needs to be figured out.
Swino, we love you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That is your Blitz. And we actually do have news just within the last couple of minutes that has trickled out, so let's get to that. And I'm seeing this from Eric Flack, who was just on with us about an hour and 15 minutes ago from Channel 9 in town. He says a source is telling him the RFK legislation is no longer included in government funding agreement Congress will vote on tonight. He said there are supporters of the bill who believe this version may not ultimately be the one that passes, which still keeps slim hopes alive for an RFK bill. Meaning, if this one passes, they're screwed because it didn't get on there.
Right.
But if it doesn't pass and they have to go back to the well with another version of this bill, maybe it would be added to it again before they all go their separate ways in a couple days.
Because and people will go, why would that happen? The only silver lining here, not silver lining, it's the wrong thing, would give the potential is there's no money attached to it. Right, the objection of some is stop spending on all these extra things, whether you like them or not. I'm just telling you, I'm just passing on the information. Because there's no money attached to the land going from federal control to DC control, no federal tax dollars are going, so maybe you don't care. That would be the Hail Mary hope for those that want the RFK bill included. That's what I got for you.
But at this juncture, it's not included
right
on the bill that they're going to vote on. So if
right
it passes, it's over.
Yes. Cool.
It just, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's every half hour, so mm-hmm. Not looking good right now. Here is my question. I want to go back to what I was just referencing from the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat when I threw this out about a half hour ago. Ryan and I were just talking about this behind the scenes. I have not asked Darius or you, but I want to get thoughts from you on this, Danny, in a minute. I have been in the I'm over it camp for a little while. I was Team RFK with the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was running around at the old site, just picking out my seat and imagining the touchdowns being scored like everybody else. I would love that. I want the team in the city. I do. That's where I prefer it. But there was a time not that long ago where I just came to an epiphany, a realization where I said, this is too complicated. This is too difficult. I don't think this is going to work. And for a little while, it looked like maybe it would, and I was wrong, but I'm just pivoting. Do it in Maryland. Do it out by the current stadium. Do the best stadium in the NFL and do FedEx 2.0 with the town center. I'll go out there. I'll eat at some bars. I'll drink at some bars. I'll walk over to the games. That's what I want now. And my whole point was I got defeated by waiting for DC, and I'm not going to keep waiting because there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
There's just the chance to try again next year.
That's the essential point here.
Ryan just came up to me, who is Team DC as well, and he goes, I think I'm out. And we can let him explain it next segment, but he basically said, I just want a new stadium. DC's easy. Maryland's easy. Let's do that. What is your I'm over this line in the sand, and have we crossed it? When, if you're Team DC, would you go, enough? I don't want more years at FedEx Field, Northwest, whatever we're going to be calling it. I want a new stadium, and if it's in Maryland, so be it. Because you're not guaranteed that if you wait another year, she's going to get engaged. You're not guaranteed if you wait another year, she will marry you. You're just waiting another year in the hopes that you have a chance maybe in the future to get engaged. That's not the same. 800-636-1067. Are you just waiting in perpetuity? Or, like me, do you go, it's time. This DC thing is too complicated. I need a new stadium, and it can be an awesome stadium in Maryland. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate to be doomsday, Grant. I think at this point it's looking like more than just a snag. I mean, the government funding bill that the RFK bill was attached to, which appeared at the time to be the biggest hurdle the team and the city had to overcome to get this land in DC's control, clearing them for the way to make the stadium deal, has completely fallen apart, meaning the deal itself is dead on Capitol Hill. And now, and we can, I don't know if you want to go into the politics of it, but the bottom line is it's dead.
That's Eric Flack, who was on our show about an hour and a half ago. He has subsequently reported via his sources that there is a bill being voted on tonight and that the RFK portion of that bill will not be involved anymore. Meaning we've been calling it a barnacle on a ship. Well, they scraped that barnacle off the ship.
Yeah.
They scraped a bunch of things off the ship, but one of the things was the land going back to D.C. So if it goes through, it's dead. It's over. The land is still federal land, and there's no stadium being built, at least until next year when they try this whole process again. Want to open up the phones, 800-636-1067 for you guys. We got listeners in D.C. We got people in Maryland. We got people in Virginia. Everybody's welcome to the table here to converse about this. But I am curious when you would potentially say, yeah, I want it in D.C., but this is all too much, and it's taking too long, and I can't just keep having them play in Landover in that crappy stadium, which is the worst one in the NFL. So I actually am ready to build in Maryland, and let's get started. Because I'm there.
Yep.
I was there, I would say, officially, like, I was willing to hear all this out because it was already happening. But about 3 months ago, I came to the realization, Maryland's easier. I think they can build an awesome thing. They'll be able to do a town center and all the stuff they never did with the old FedEx 1.0. I could get behind that. It's not perfect. It's not really what I want, but it's way easier, and it'll happen 2 or 3 years sooner probably. And because of that, it's worth it to me. But I think most people didn't necessarily agree with that. So, Danny, I ask you, how much longer are you willing to wait for D.C. as opposed to just move forward in Maryland?
So it's not Maryland in general. I was harp on this point. It's the only site that seems to be available is the current one. If something else happened in Maryland, I'm not opposed to Maryland. I always want to offer that distinction. I think there's wonderful places in Maryland. That's not one of them. They cannot build there. They can't. So whatever that means, I'm willing to deal with it. I know I'm in the minority on that one, like to the point where I'm basically saying, I guess in perpetuity, maybe I'm cold and dead and they still haven't built a new place somewhere else. But I don't know if that means Virginia's involved, whatever.
So you're forever, basically, yes, waiting for D.C. over FedEx 2.0.
Anything other than FedEx 2.0 is my point. So if D.C. loses their privilege and maybe somewhere else in America, I have no idea. To me, they can't do it there. They just can't.
And can you just, we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. I know the answer, but a lot of people listen.
Sure, I'll summarize.
Why are you so adamant against a FedEx 2.0, which would be a state-of-the-art, amazing stadium with a town center around it? All of that would be awesome in a location that you don't like.
Yeah, it is a failed location. So when they've tried to build stuff around there before, they go out of business. People don't go there. In order for this new venue, whatever it is, to be successful, it's got to be someplace that someone goes, hey, do you want to go over by the stadium, even when there's no game day, 350-some days out of the year, to grab lunch, to go to this amusement thing, or go to this, to this fountain or this park or whatever. No one's going to leave their area and drive over there, right? Not nowhere near the critical mass. That's why I say it is a spot that you simply can't build the effective thing that you want to build. Now, this isn't one of those, like, I'm crying poverty for the team owners that they won't make as much money. I don't really care about that. I'm just talking about for the purposes of the stadium. What's going to happen is if they build it over there, all these nice things will be shiny and new, and they'll eventually turn over a million times and go out of business because people don't go there. People don't want to go there. Because it's out of the way. It's not a good location. There are plenty of good locations in Maryland. That's not one of them. And to me, it's nothing but losing. It's nothing but defeat. It's nothing but all the wrong decisions boiled into one. And it would be an admission of failure that you couldn't secure something else. Not this ownership's fault, by the way. They were handed a terrible hand by whatever the hell Bruce Allen was doing for a decade plus, not getting off his duff and getting this thing done. And stupid Dan Snyder and everybody else that ruined it for me. So it's not Harris Ownership Group's fault. But admitting defeat, which is what that would do, to me, it's just something that they just can't consider that option. It's why they haven't already gone and done it already, in my opinion.
So I've been in this camp for a little while, and we're pretty much on opposite sides.
On this one, yeah.
Danny will not be joining the camp, it sounds like. 800-636-1067.
And I'm in the minority on that, I think, by the way.
Yeah, you might be, but I mean, I know I'm in a probably a smaller minority. Well,
you think
maybe
so?
Not.
Not now. Not this latest rug pull.
That's true. That's fair. Darius, you are a Maryland guy. You live not far from the current stadium, so maybe that could be a factor here. But what say you?
It is a factor. I'm just at the point where I want a new stadium for the team that I root for the team that I go see 2 to 3 games a year from. I want the new stadium experience, and I'm at the point where I don't care where it is.
Were
it
you Team DC originally?
Of course. I think the ultimate goal should have always been for the team to be in the city that it plays for, which is Washington, D.C. So I definitely wanted that. But if that's not realistic, which it doesn't seem like it's going to be, there's too many hoops and hurdles to cross, I'm willing to forego that and say, hey, give me my Maryland stadium then.
So you're going forward, you're calling Westmore next week after this thing fails, rather than trying again next year to push this through Congress.
It's just no reason to keep playing the game of waiting and seeing if D.C. is going to get over itself.
Because the point that you're 100%, sorry, I mean to cut you off.
Well, there, welcome to my club. Here's a shovel. Let's go start digging.
Well, absolutely.
The most correct point that you've got, I mean, I don't know if anyone's disputing the facts, but the most salient point, I will say, is no matter how long you wait, there is no guarantee that all of these different people that have to get on board, just with ground belonging to the city that it's in, goes to D.C. We haven't even talked about the council. I mean, yesterday we had Charles Allen on, which seems like old news. One of the D.C. council members was like, yeah, I don't know. There's a wide range of opinions. Nothing to say that we'd actually would have a stadium there when it's all said and done once we get control of the land. There's that too.
That's,
you know,
the other point.
There's no guarantee.
Getting the land still doesn't mean it's going to happen, right, even though I think it would. It would still be a pretty big fight ahead.
Right.
But B, when this thing caves, which it looks like it's going to in the next 24 to 48 hours, just going back to the well to fight in D.C. again next year doesn't mean anything.
Right.
All right, Ryan, the reason for the topic was you came up to me and you said your team Maryland essentially at this point.
Yeah, I was Team D.C. up until like 24 hours ago. And once I kind of woke up and smelled the coffee, it's not going to happen in D.C., I don't think it'll ever happen in D.C. I think there's just way too much going on as far as other stuff the federal government needs to do, the local government as well. At this point in time, like, just build it in Maryland, man. If it's in Landover, so be it. If it's in Bethesda, whatever. But at this point, if they build it, they will come.
Well, and you're going to get a town center with it, right? You're going to get a little, you'll be able to eat at your bars and right now, they're one of two stadiums in the NFL without a restaurant or bar within a mile. Them and the Dolphins. That's over. You're going to have the Reston Town Center right next door with your hotels and stuff, and it's going to be silly. It'll be Allegiant Stadium in Landover, Maryland, basically. Let's do this thing. Tim is in Tawnytown. I think I always do this. I never know what that means.
Yeah, Tawnytown.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, good afternoon. Hi, I was a former D.C. Resident. I was born and raised there, so I'm biased. But I will say this. When you have an aerial shot of a brand-new stadium where RFK is, there's no better site for any advertising or the Washington football team when you have the Washington Monument and the Capitol there looking down on that stadium. You cannot trade that view for anything else in this area. I go with Danny on this. I don't think the land oversight works. It hasn't worked all these years. What makes you believe it's going to work now? And I would call Maryland.
But here, there's a difference, though.
Maryland doesn't have a budget that can support this right now. Now,
Tim, they're already giving them $500 or $600 million.
Well, I haven't seen those details either.
Well, I don't know if you've looked for them. I mean, they're out there. They've admitted this to the project.
I would call Maryland's bluff on this because they have a budget deficit. And I think
D.C. swimming in money?
Yeah, it's not like D.C. is flush with cash.
They didn't have money for the Wizards caps. They already gave them $500 million.
Well, so, Tim, this is info here. This is an opinion. They've already said we will help build up that site because everybody's desperate who's in charge in Maryland for that site to be something. Like, whether the team plays there or not, it's failed and it's an eyesore. So whether you agree with me or not doesn't matter. They've already said we need a win at that place. Like, everyone, local, statewide, you know, city officials, everybody in between needs something positive there because it's not positive.
And let me be clear, Obama style here, I'm not Team Maryland. I'm team build a damn stadium right now. It just so happens the only site, the only place giving them any money, the only place where they could break ground soon, relatively, is Maryland. So that's, if by the way, National Landing was on the table, if there was enough space there, that would be my one seat. If National Harbor across the river the other way was on the table, that would be my one seat. All we got, it's either D.C. or FedEx 2.0. And D.C. does not seem like a reality. Now, I agree with the caller. Was it Tim?
Tim.
I agree with you, Tim, about the aerial shot and the National Mall. That's what we all want. Nobody thinks that this would be a better option. It's just not reality.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get the land. Again, this was the time they were going to get the land. Everything. Bruce worked on this for years. Jason Wright worked on this for years. New ownership's been working on this for 2 years. They can't get the land. If they get the land, I'll change my mind and say build it in D.C. But as of right now, it doesn't look like they're getting the land. When they, by the way, scored a touchdown already, and then it got reviewed with a red flag, and they said, actually, never mind, you can't have the land.
And there's a penalty on you for some reason.
Right. Let's go to Clarence, who's on 50. What's up, Clarence?
What's your clearance, Clarence?
Hey, good afternoon, boys. I'm in agreement with Grant here. You know, I'm not biased to either Maryland, Virginia, or D.C., but D.C. is a S show. They can't get this stuff right. I think FedEx 2.0 is inevitable. I mean, it's not the greatest plan, but, I mean, they do have the old Landover Mall area over there where they could build restaurants and bars and a whole entertainment experience and knock the old stadium down, let the boys play at University of Maryland for a year or two, and, I mean, let's get this thing rolling. I mean, let's strike while the iron's hot. That's all I got, boys.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
You, dude.
800-636-1067, you want to hop in. The question for you is, what is your walkaway point from the RFK site? Are you, like a lot of people seemingly, ready to say, I need a stadium. Build me something beautiful wherever you can build it. And right now, that's Maryland. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. At the top of the hour, Danny Cannell will join us. We're going to preview the college football playoff weekend ahead. Three games on Saturday mixed in with a couple of NFL games to get the first ever college football postseason started. Right now, though, we're talking about the RFK land that was supposed to have been returned to D.C., dying on the vine here, not a part of a bill that'll be voted on tonight. All of what we were celebrating and talking about going back to yesterday and the day before, for naught. Another change of pace, another curveball here out of left field. We're finding out that the Commanders are getting blindsided, it sounds like. And I'm good now. We're going to Maryland. Put the shovel in the ground and let's do this thing. Because if you try D.C. again, and there's still a very small chance it could happen if the bill they're voting on tonight doesn't go through, they redo the bill and they add RFK back to it. So there's a 10 or so percent chance, I guess, or less, that that could happen. But if we get to the end of the year here, and all the congressional people go home, the lawmakers leave D.C., then you start all over again next year with no guarantee or promise of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that you hit a home run, which at that point is just a toss-up. You still then have the fight in D.C. We had a council member from D.C. on yesterday that said, yeah, actually, I don't want the stadium being built on that land. Who's ready to fight over it when it even gets to that point? I'm good. 2.0, Landover, Maryland, build me something awesome.
So I, too, am good in the sense that I'm not going to ever get my hopes up again. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? It's one of those, like, we've had similar stories in the past, and this one actually turned out to happen. But remember whenever, like, not all the time, but like a bunch of times I'd bring in you, hey, this is about Snyder, and he might have to sell. And you were like, listen, I've read this so many times. I've talked about this so many times. Let me know when he has to. And then we did, and that was fine. That's the point I'm at now, where I can't read something and then say, okay, it's going to happen. I frankly don't believe it. I don't believe anything's going to happen until it's actually already occurred. And then 10 months have gone by, and people can actually start going there. Then I'll go, okay, fine, I believe it.
Next year, it'll be different obstacles.
I'm just not doing it.
Maybe it won't be the senator in Montana. They beat that level. Then the senator in Utah, they beat that level. Then Elon Musk came out of nowhere as the bad guy at a level. They haven't beat that level.
You're just playing Donkey Kong at this point. Exactly. With a game that has no
end. Whack-a-mole. It's like, okay, we got that one. Oh, no, Elon Musk doesn't want us to do it. What about the fighter jets? They beat that level. What about the bridge to Baltimore? It seems like Elon Musk is the one in the end, the big thing.
There's
yesterday.
Another boss.
He's the big boss at the last level that they didn't get past. Let's go to Eric in D.C. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, you touched on the point that I was going to make just a couple of minutes ago. I think we need to tap on the brakes on the panic button just a little bit, because if the spending bill that they're talking about tonight is a stripped down short term bill just to avoid a government shutdown, and we look at a bigger plan 2 or 3 weeks down the road, you know, there's a chance we're revisiting all these issues all over again just a couple of weeks from now, as opposed to a year from now. Right? Isn't this what we always do? We do a series of short-term bills just to avoid a government shutdown before we get to a bigger full-term spending package. So I think we just got to wait and see how long this spending plan is that they're voting on tonight.
It's a solid point. If it's, and I appreciate the phone call. If it's super short-term, then he might be right necessarily.
That's not what the reporters like Eric Flack that we have on are saying, though.
But here's the rub to it. Is this is the end of this Congress as it exists.
Correct.
This group, this is their last day or whatever it is. Tomorrow's whatever the last day is. Then they're going home and that's the end. Then the makeup changes. So in theory, a short term, let's just continue and keep the government open.
Yeah.
Resolution, which is what they're voting on, could happen. And then you could do something else, but it's still a brand new session, a brand new group, a brand new whatever. And you got to start that process over again.
You're starting from day one. Mm-hmm. It took months and months and months. It's actually taken years and years and years. But it would take months to get. It wouldn't just be that the bill is complete again, that you're starting the whole process over. Not to mention, and again, this is brushing up against politics, and I agree with anything that you guys think as you're driving around right now. And I disagree with all the things you disagree with. But the people that don't want this bill going through and who have ripped RFK out of it are going to have more influence in a month, not less. Why would that be good for more involvement of the barnacles on the ship, so to speak? More of these things like RFK on the bill. Those people have more influence in a month, not less. Let's go to Kellen in Chantilly. Hello, Kellen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
We've been talking about D.C. and Maryland a lot, and I know, obviously, I'm from Chantilly, Northern Virginia, but why haven't we thought about bringing it up to Northern Virginia, you know?
I feel like that's adorable.
A stadium in Virginia.
I know. The Woodbridge situation, I know, a little bit.
I'm just looking at all of the memes.
You sweet summer child. It's not your fault.
Adorable idea.
Just know that there was a press conference, and they spiked that football, and they pointed at their opponents, and they got flagged for taunting, but they didn't care. And then someone from hundreds of miles away started memeing, and the stadium died. And Virginia pretty much lost its privilege. They're not at the table. Like, whatever the governor might want to do, I haven't heard him say anything about the football team.
Louise Lucas thinks that call was precious.
Yeah. Like, there might be some political will to go, hey, let's try to do this. No one will take Virginia seriously for a while.
Well, they've never had a stadium for the major teams professionally, and they don't want one. It's very clear. They don't. So I'm not even trying to joan on the call. It was actually good. We do a bit where, if you're new to the show, we laugh anytime the idea of a stadium in Virginia comes up. But they have had multiple press conferences at National Landing.
Yeah, touchdown, right?
It happened when I was a kid.
We did it.
And it happened again this past year. We spent a lot of days talking about it. We got memes. We don't have stadiums, but at least we got some memes, some graveyards, and some I told you so stuff.
Who did this?
Anthony in Calvert. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, man.
So, you know, Danny, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I don't necessarily disagree with you. However, I'm definitely leaning towards Grant. I don't care right now. Just build a new stadium. But if we go by your premise or your theory, Anacostia, Berry Farms, right across the river from Anacostia, and Southeast D.C. was a complete dump until the Nationals had a stadium there, and look at it now. So you can't say the same wouldn't be plausible to happen at the FedEx 2.0 site, if that's what you want to call it.
I smell what you're cooking, and let me respond super quick. You've got built in. You've got Metro. You've got a smart build-up around it, which they've tried to build stuff in, you know, adjacent to that lot before without the public transport really readily available. That's a huge factor, right? Again, it's out of the way enough where even if you put some office buildings and things, nobody wants that location. Whereas down at the prime real estate inside the boundary of DC, not even on the opposite the riverside, but here just off South Capitol Street, where you can see the Capitol building, that was always a jewel in waiting. And it took the catalyst of Nats Park and some other stuff, of course, to build it out right. But Navy Yard became a must-see place. Same with Capital One Arena, right there in the heart of downtown. I grew up around here. They wouldn't pull you over if you ran through red lights on Mass Ave, because if you stopped your car, you were in jeopardy. That's all different now. That's all changed. My point is, we've got data for decades at one spot that says, build what you want, it ain't working. I mean, that's my view.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're going to talk college football next with our buddy who's as opinionated and as informed on college football as anybody in the country, former Florida State quarterback Danny Cannell. We'll dive in on the college football playoff. There are three games to be played on Saturday to get everything started. And then we will talk with one of the lawmakers in Maryland on whether or not the land's going to end up with D.C., whether or not a stadium should be built in Maryland. That's coming up at 5:30 right here on The Fan.